everybody, and welcome to this episode of Turkish TV Time. Today we're talking about As the Crow Flies, or Kuş Uçuşu, episode 4 of season 2. And I am drinking tea.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So I don't know if that's going to like curse this episode or something, but I wanted to see what would happen.
We'll find out.
I'm assuming you guys do not have a post-work tea over there.
No.
I have not a liquid near me.
Nothing. Oh, no. Do you need to go get one?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. All right, so now I'm going to take us through what happened in this episode. Disclaimer, Ezgi has not seen it, so she's going to be
just as fascinated
as you all by listening to my recap. Ezgi, most important thing to take away is that the boat sweater was in the episode.
Oh, no. That's my WTF. I'm already claiming it. Third episode, why?
Okay, so we start with this flashback to young Müge and Lale, and they're at a house party, and everybody's saying, oh, Müge, you're so great, you're gonna be the next big news anchor. And Lale is like her, you know, dorky version of herself, and is trying to beg off the party, but Müge is like, no, you have to stay because you have to see me get with this guy that I'm into. And of course the guy that she's into is Kenan. So that's not going to go so well for Müge. Kenan recognizes Lale from like a country house that, or beach house that they had in Kayıköy, which is, yeah, he, I don't know. He was a little creepy, but it's fine. They instantly,
it felt a little bit like a She's All That premise to me, but I don't know if it, if it was like, he's actually interested, or it's more the like game of getting with the like the nerdy girl to like prove that you're more macho, you know.
Lale and Kenan are on the boat, I guess, in the morning, and they're planning some stuff for the show. And then he goes inside to do something and she ditches him. I think the implication is that she's freaked out by the fact that she's having feelings with him, and so she had to like run away, which is so disappointing. Then we go to Müge and Asla having breakfast. Müge is like doing her fake nice girly thing, and so is Asla. And Asla tells Müge that she brought Gülis back. Wow, this is a lot of names in one sentence. She brought Gülis back in order to get rid of Gül. And Müge's like, oh. So clearly she's taking that in and trying to form some sort of evil plan. Selim and the girls are still on their camping trip, and Lale's still feeling guilty about wanting Kenan. Asla is pissed off because Yusuf has blocked her on social media. And so she orders the assistant girl, who's about to take her turn as a villain, to get her a new phone. She also tells the assistant that her, or the assistant tells her that her old landlord is going to throw away all her stuff if she doesn't move it out of her old place. And so she sends the assistant to go and take care of it. And then the assistant gives us like an evil look to the camera, and we're like, ooh, okay, she's coming. Then we go to Lale. She's still reading the cookie ads, and everyone's like, it's so embarrassing that she's reading the cookie ads. And she has this time not even a dream. She has a daydream, like sex dream, about Kenan and red wine. So that's a lot, just standing in her kitchen. Then we see Lale and Kenan's first kiss, like back in the day at the party, and Müge looking at them, and she's obviously super pissed and jealous. Then we see that Kenan has gotten rid of Lale's ad read because he knew that it was, you know, making her sad, and so he just got rid of it without telling her. But then she's pissed off because he did it without telling her. And Yusuf has a bright idea of making a new gossip account, going back to his Bush Bush days, in order to help people feel closer to Lale, help her seem more like a real person, and it's going to help the show be more popular, I guess. Asla calls Yusuf with her new phone and tells him that it's an emergency and he has to come now, which he's such a fucking moron for believing that. Asla has like a fancy dinner laid out for them. She's dressed up real nice. And she says, we should actually date. And Yusuf is like, why the hell are you like this? Why are you so crazy and manipulative and psychotic? And Asla gives us her backstory, which is that she grew up in a rural area, being a girl, and it was super hard. You can't have your own life. But she saw all the rich and happy people on social media, and the only thing that she had was time to plan. So she planned how she was going to get to the top.
Did it seem like was it we were being shown scenes from her past, or was she just verbally? Okay, so she could have been making like all of it up still. We don't know. Okay.
Definitely, probably it's all a lie.
Yeah.
That didn't even occur to me. I just believed her, but you're right. We didn't see anything. So it could definitely
even if they had shown like flashbacky scenes, I would still again doubt like anything she says. Also, I don't think she even knows anything about herself at this point. There's too many lies.
Yeah. She definitely believes her own lies. Yusuf calls her out for inviting him over only because Lale hired him and says that she needs to go to therapy, which is correct. But I don't think therapy can help her because she's psycho. Then we go to the next morning and Kenan is suspicious of Yusuf. And he's like, where were you last night? Which makes me think he's having him followed or he's, I don't know, something. But he's still suspicious of Yusuf. Lale decides to have a romantic weekend getaway with Selim because she's been having sex dreams about her coworker and is feeling guilty about it. And the newest news drama of the week is that photos of Asla's old apartment are up on the web. And all the commenters on social media are like, oh, she's from this shithole. She shouldn't pretend. And she's so low class and all of this stuff, which is ridiculous because it's a pretty spacious apartment for her.
Apartment is in Moda.
Yeah, it's a cute, awesome, spacious apartment in Moda. Like,
make of that what you will.
It's bad. Yeah, it's like a very old, like an old in-demand neighborhood that's very trendy. So yeah, that's nonsense.
Yeah. So yeah, it's nonsense. But Guliz throws some barbs at her. So the relationship between Asla and Guliz is deteriorating. Guliz is like, oh, Muge, what did your parents do? Were they doctors? And she's like, no, foreign service. And so it's a whole like class thing. Anyway.
I think what's happening is not that it's deteriorating. It's that Guliz is like showing her real hand, which was like, she was never interested in helping Asla. Like she has her own intentions. And like Asla was dumb enough to think that like Guliz would come back to just serve her. But the truth is that Guliz only serves herself, I think, is kind of the lesson that she's going to learn.
Very well said. So then we're with Evil Secretary, who I'm not sure that she has a name. She probably does, but Evil Secretary for now. And she's like, Asla, you should really make a fake social media account to look at all these comments. And because Asla demands her secretary's phone to look at the comments, not sure what she did, but she clearly was doing something on her phone.
And she was looking at the DMs, I think.
Okay.
When you say evil secretary, you mean like her, like her personal assistant girl?
Yeah. Okay.
Got it.
And I think, I'm not entirely sure, but I think she saw some messages like maybe with the landlord or something. Not entirely sure.
Okay. Yeah. She took her phone and she was like looking at stuff, so it was suspicious. And then her assistant says, you should make a fake account, and Asla's like, oh, I never thought of that, which is really funny. So clearly she's up to some shit,
but I think she says it sarcastically, doesn't she?
Hard to tell.
She goes back to being really bitchy to the assistant again.
Yeah,
after she's nice.
Yeah. Guliz is like, Asla, you need to stop the bad press. This is looking bad for us. You're in trouble. The bad press about her chic Moda apartment. And Asla, this is a weird scene. I wasn't sure about this, but I guess it'll come back into play later. Asla says to Muge, "Oh, you've been to my apartment, right?" And she's like, "Oh, I could have sworn you've been there." And Muge's like, "No, you're losing it." So I don't know what like seed she was planting there, but she definitely did it on purpose. Narration time. Her fall is coming. She's running. I don't know. I didn't even pay much attention to it, to be honest with you.
I usually don't pay attention to the narrator either.
Yeah. And Asla starts her newscast by putting her apartment photos up on the screen. And she says that she came from nothing and she's proud of herself. And then we see you, Lale, watching it. And Lale is like, absolutely freaking out over it, which I did not understand at all.
It's because she says, maybe I wasn't educated at a French school, or my parents weren't diplomats. And I think she's like throwing direct barbs at Lale and Muge, because they like went to Lale, like Lale was educated at a French school or something.
Oh, okay.
So I guess she's like trying to undermine and say like, I am self-made and you are all just like, I guess it's like social commentary. Like you all just come from the same families and everyone's the same people that are being successful and like in the spheres of power. And well, I came here to disrupt. I think she's trying to like show that she's one of the people and not like part of the ruling elite, to say it a different way.
And then... So Lala is unsettled and Yusuf is there and he's like, "Oh, I'll go get Kenan because he understands you." And Lala's like, "Oh no, why would you get Kenan?" Then we see that she has a meeting with Asla and Muge and she's like, "I want a new era." And Asla's kind of like on the side and Muge is like full on into suck up mode and seems to be successful. And then Lale and Salim are packing up and leaving for their romance weekend. And all of a sudden Asla shows up at their front door and her and Lale are in the living room. Salim's waiting in the car. And that is where the episode ends.
But there was one part that was missing. That was when they leave Guli's office. Like Guli's talks to Asla on the like one-on-one and she's like, "You need to take care of this thing about your apartment, like no more scandals." And she's like, "Oh, I took care of it." And she's like, "No, that's not enough," or basically threatens her that if she keeps doing these stupid little scandals and her antics, like she's gonna be out.
Right, so now we're going to move on into the gossip / banter / spilling my tea section. Where would you like to start? Any questions from the audience, as Key?
Well, I'm very intrigued by the assistant. I think we predicted that she would have, I mean, it seems like the natural progression of the show is someone coming up from under, taking out whoever's on top. So I think we predicted that she could be a bigger character than she initially seems to be. So I'm happy about that. I'm also curious if she came into things kind of genuine and then was corrupted by how evil like Asla is, and like basically wanted like revenge because like of the earring thing. And then I think she wanted like, I can't remember if she wanted time off for like her engagement or something like that. I could be conflating.
That was a previous assistant, I think.
Oh, that was a previous assistant. Okay. But anyway, I was like, at least even the earring thing and like other little like jabs here and there would be enough to like piss me off. So
yeah,
if this girl's like even a little bit crazy, she could have been sent over the edge, or she could have come into this whole thing with a plan like Asla did. So it'd be interesting. Which side of that she's on.
It's weird because I think it could be a little bit of both, because she Like when Asa like opens up to her, she's like, you're such a like, she's, how do I even say this? Like, she's rude and she treats people badly. And the girl was like kind of proud of it, or she like thought it was cool, or like it made her cool. She said something along the lines of like, you're so cool, or something. Being really bad at articulating my thoughts, but pretty sure that she said something along the lines of like that she admired her or something for being like really rude to everyone.
Let's say
Yep, but
so.
she made
Love,
girls
love
really
such an
rude people.
admirable trait.
Yeah, I, but like, so during the episode, is it like, to me, it wasn't evidently explicit that she was the one that planted the photos of the apartment, although obviously she's the obvious culprit. But that's why I was wondering if the, in that scene with the text, because I mean, we can't read Turkish and there were like 20 conversations. Well, I can't. I think Sammy can, but I can't. So.
She was scrolling through. It was just like people's names, I think, that were in there. I don't know if we were supposed to take anything from that.
Oh, okay. So I'm still not sure if that was like a confirmation. But she did make a face at one point that made her seem like the culprit.
Yeah, she made an evil face, but you make a good point. The show could just be like misleading us that it was her, and it was actually Asla doing it to herself, or who knows. So. And also, there was that weird thing with Muge, so maybe Asa wants to pin it on her. Unclear. But Muge needs to go. She is the worst. I can't believe what a suck up she is. It's unbelievable that she's keeping her job.
Well, it's also funny because, like, I feel like they've shown Muge all throughout the show to be like the odd one out. Like, she's never the cool one. She's always like the one that's like lagging. And like, the like with Kenan and Lale, she's like the third wheel. And then with Gül and Asla, she's kind of just like the suck up for Gül. And like, I don't know, she just like seems like such a loser character in all of it.
Yes, for
It's
sure.
odd. Like, it's really odd that like she's still there. Like, I don't understand the point of the character at this point.
Me neither. Yeah, she really hasn't done anything this season. Like, she hasn't been the impetus of any plot or anything like that.
Yeah, and her whole thing last season was just like she was drunk and like she had a problem with alcohol. But
Yeah.
like, oh, we forgot that in this new season.
Yeah.
Or she's sober and pretending to be drunk. Like, I don't even know what the whole point it was.
Something interesting that was said in the episode, I feel like they were trying to comment on, I don't know, late stage capitalism, was that when Yusuf and Asla are having their frank conversation, Asla's like, all the seats of power are taken. So if you want a seat, you have to get rid of somebody,
Yeah.
which I mean is kind of true. Like, not the way that Asla wants to do it, obviously, but definitely has a grain of truth to it.
And also how easy it is now. I mean, I guess in the olden days, people could get rid of people in power, if they really wanted to, but now it's just like a matter of starting an online campaign and you could get a mob going pretty easily. Which we've
Yeah,
seen a
I don't
lot of times on
know
the show.
if you guys
Yeah.
are tracking the Formula One gossip at all, but there's an absolutely insane situation unfolding at the leading team where Christian Horner, who's
Oh, yeah. Red Bull,
team
yeah.
principal, yeah, he's
Yeah.
married to Ginger Spice. He was sexting with his personal assistant, and they cleared him. And then the next day, all of the evidence was sent to a bunch of journalists, and then
Yeah.
today they revealed that they are suspending the woman who was in the whatever the what do you call it
The sex.
whistleblower.
Oh. Oh, I missed that.
So yeah,
Oh, shoot.
so it just keeps rolling.
I did see that.
Yeah, pretty nuts.
Sucks, honestly,
Yeah.
that the system will continue to perpetuate itself.
Is this why Lu Wait, Lewis Hamilton? Oh no, he went. He's from Mercedes, right? Never mind.
Mercedes to Ferrari.
Verstappen, that's on Red Bull.
Yes, and Verstappen's father has been quite involved in the scandal and calling for Christian Horner to be fired. And then it's like a whole. It's a great. It's excellent mess. If anybody is interested,
a prime mess.
I'm more focused on the Cyrus family mess.
Oh my god.
Oh, what's up with
what
this?
The when hell did, is
when
that?
When did her and Billy Ray like fall out this bad? Has it been like this for a while? I just haven't noticed.
Yeah, so it seems like she's like took Tish's side or something, but then apparently her younger sister like was dating the guy that's now married to Tish.
Oh, I didn't oh
and
that's
so,
so gross.
Yeah, so bad.
Yeah, she had already broken with her father because he was dating somebody he met as a minor on what? Hannah Montana.
Oh.
And now the
Wait,
mother
what?
Is... Huh?
I just knew that she was really young, but I didn't know that she was on
Oh,
Hannah
yeah.
Montana.
I mean, maybe she wasn't a minor. I thought
but
I knew
like
she was
basically
young, but.
Could be his daughter, like age-wise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's younger than Miley, I think.
Fucked up.
That's super messed up. Oh my god. Why are men?
but like also like how could this guy date Noah, who's also like 23 or something, 24, and then date Tish, the mom?
Yeah, that's so
Why?
gross.
And apparently, like according to the gossip story, obviously I don't know if this is true, like Tish knew and she just like decided not to invite that daughter to the wedding or anything. And
that's so fucked
I don't
up.
think that's true, honestly. Like, that would be really fucked up.
The whole thing is insane, and I hope Miley just doesn't talk to any person in her family
I
anymore.
think, yeah, that would be best. She's got looks for days. Her hair has been great
Oh
lately.
my
She
gosh.
can just continue to slay.
Yeah, agreed.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Our show?
Okay, why is the cookie ad read such a problem for these people?
I don't know.
Like,
I don't think it's that embarrassing.
It's so weird to me. Like, when you watch PBS NewsHour at the end, they're always like, and thank you to our sponsors, BNSF Railway. And like,
I think it's just something that they aren't used to doing. Like, she was in the top show and like she was the top anchor. I think it's just like trying to show how much she has fallen.
I guess I've never like watched a like I don't even know if like that's a thing like that can happen to people like reading a cookie ad at the end of a news like I just I'm like it's not I can't I don't have anything to compare it to. I mean your PBS comparison's good because like but like that's a very prestigious and highly regarded channel and also like news broadcast here, but yeah, apparently it's just the hallmark of failure in Turkey.
Oh God. And then what about Yusuf's plan to make a new gossip account? That seems like it's gonna create some problems. I feel like Kenan is just waiting for a reason to get rid of Yusuf.
You're right, probably that he's having him followed based on what you said in the recap. It doesn't sound like something he would just like predict correctly. So
yeah, I think that he runs the risk of Lale choosing Yusuf over him because she seems very attached to Yusuf now, and she's also pretty fed up with being attracted to Kenan. So if she doesn't decide to go for it, she might just kick him out, which would be very sad for him.
Honestly, like, I don't know where this Lale storyline is going to go because it seems like she's doing everything in her power to get away from Kenan, and that's just causing her more and more trouble. So I wonder, like, it's probably going to have a really shitty ending, and she's either going to get with Kenan or they're never going to talk again.
Yeah.
And I don't know which one would be worse. And honestly, like, I don't feel like there's a lot of character growth on her end. Like, in the season, she's just like, oh, I'm depressed, like my show is like not going well and like whatever, like not a lot of places to go, so it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I completely agree. She's just not that interesting this season.
Yeah, but then also like where is Asla going? Like they're going to take her down, but like, she's just going to fight forever so they don't take her down. So, like, I don't
and
know.
What does she want to talk to Lale about?
I don't know. Maybe like bringing her back to fight Ulysses or something. But
that would be awesome if they were co-anchors.
But I feel like Ulysses is like, first, Asla has no leverage unless she has some dirt on Ulysses, which is very possible as well. But then, like, I don't know, like, I wouldn't trust Asla for like a second, A, and B, like, they don't have any leverage. Like, what leverage do they have?
Also, we didn't see Goo this episode. Is she just done, or is she going to come back into the show?
She said she was going to come back, but I don't know how.
Yeah, I thought she might go straight to Lale and Kenan and be like, okay, I'm going to make this show a success, but she hasn't really reappeared.
Yeah, she just went to try to sleep with Kenan, which I never understood the purpose of that plot line.
Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, the show, as many shows we've watched, might be going off the rails at this point.
Yeah, it's only episode 4. It's been really entertaining, but I'm going to need more ownership of actions from Lale and Asla.
See, I thought this show was completely and utterly off the rails last season, like especially at the end where they literally like fought in her house.
Yeah, that was a crazy episode.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. That's why I like this show, is that it makes like very little sense most of the time, but it's just really catty. So I can tolerate the lack of logic as long as there's some screaming and fighting.
Yeah, we need more cattiness.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's if you're not gonna give us plot, give us fight.
Yeah. So now we're going to move on into our history section, where Sophia is going to talk to us about Ebru, Don Quixote?
Don Quixote.
Don Quixote.
I mean, I can do Ebru as well.
No, if you're ready to go Don Quixote, please do, because I'm not going to read it anytime soon.
I mean, it is the seminal novel of the Spanish language. So Don Quixote, as mentioned in the, I think it's mentioned on the show, to speak about like Lale's privilege, right? And like how she's read
all the novel. She was like, am I crazy? Am I just tilting at windmills? Okay. Like Don Quixote?
Yeah, so Don Quixote, basically, it's a novel set in like in a time where it was the like the knightly books and like culture was at a high, and it's kind of like a, I don't know if you would say like a satire, but it's definitely making fun of that genre. So basically, it's this guy who lives in La Mancha, which is a part of Spain. And basically, he's crazy. Like, the whole premise of the book is that he's crazy and he wants to be a knight. So basically, he recruits like a squire who is Sancho Panza, who's like comic relief all around. Like, they're both really big comic relief. But the novel is like a seminal novel of the Spanish language, because of a lot of reasons, but it's like the first modern novel and the first like polyphonic novel, which means that it's, wait, so a polyphonic novel is like a type of novel where people like are faced with different characters that have different visions of the world, and like basically like it's kind of realistic in the sense that people have different points of views of view that are like at a crossroads. And also it like uses a narrative technique where there's like a story within a story within a story, because the story itself is like, this story was told to this person based on this. So it's like, you know, it's like a story told to someone else. And basically, I mean, I'm not going to go into detail about the book. It's really, really funny. Definitely like it's like a laugh out loud book just because it's so dumb and ridiculous. But basically this man goes on like all sorts of adventures, and just because he's Don Quixote, like a lot of crazy things happen to him. And Sancho always like gets the brunt of the crappy things happen to him because he's the comic relief. But basically the scene that Lale is referring to, which is the windmills. So Don Quixote like is in love with this woman called Dulcinea. So he's like going over to find her, and he like runs, he like finds some windmills, and he thinks that they're you know, I think they're big, like great warriors. That's what he thinks they are. Oh, they're giants is what he thinks they are. So he goes and like tries to fight a literal windmill, so you can imagine how that goes. But it's like just been made into like a metaphor in popular culture about you know, just like doing something that's so dumb and illogical. So I think Lale is trying to say that like her whole endeavor of thinking that she can be independent and have her own news show and be successful is kind of absurd. But yeah, this novel, like it's kind of like Shakespeare in English, where if you read a lot of like literature in Spanish, they're gonna be references to this book at some point. And it's, I mean, it's fun because it obviously in high school I read the whole book, and the whole point of the reading the book was that you would see the references in other texts. But it's definitely like one of the most well-known books in Spanish language literature. And fun fact, now I don't know if it's the day they were born or the day they died, but Don Quixote, Miguel de Cervantes, who was the writer of this novel, and Shakespeare were either born or died on the same day. And that's like language day in Spanish speaking world, which is April 23rd. So yeah. Just, and of course the Institute of Spanish language is called the Cervantes Institute. So, you know, he definitely is someone extremely important in the literature of the Spanish speaking world. But yeah, I don't know if you want any more, like more detail of the book, but like basically he kind of just, you know, goes and has like dumb it. And of course, like, so he's wearing this armor, and like it's described as anachronistic because he's wearing like the knightly armor, but it's from like the past, not from the current day that they're in. And yeah, it's definitely a satire. And it's trying to like make fun of society, of the ideals of knighthood, and yeah, I think that's a little bit of what the novel is about.
Awesome. Also, fun fact, the English word quixotic comes from that, which mm-hmm. means exceedingly idealistic, unrealistic, and impractical. Fun word.
Yeah, you mentioned how many places like this novel pops up in Spanish, but even in English, yeah, there's like so many phrases that I think, like tilting at windmills, and can't think of any others off the top of my head, but also in Turkish we have an equivalent. So it,
really?
Yeah, it's very much in the global psyche.
I mean, it's a very, very, very entertaining book, like more than you would expect for a text that's that old. And I think it has a lot of the elements of like the later like picaresque novel that is like very like funny and irreverent, and I think it was quite irreverent for its time. But I mean, it's really long, and some parts are not that entertaining, but some parts are like laugh out loud funny.
It's, I mean, it's one of the first of its form. Like, novels were not really a thing at all back then. This is one of the first.
Cool. Thank you. So now we're going to move on to our favorite and final section, which is WTF, Sultan of Success, and Fatima's hit list. So WTFs.
Outfits again. And I think, I don't know if it's me, but Asla's hair color like changes like 3 times per episode. Like sometimes she's more blonde and then sometimes she's more brunette.
Mm-hmm,
like a mood
mm-hmm.
ring.
I also feel like Lale's makeup was really bad in this episode. Like it made her skin look really bad, and she has beautiful skin, so it's stupid. Yeah, I have all of Asla's skirts are so short. Like, what the fuck? They are insanely, they are tiny mini skirts with like a business oversized blazer. It's so weird.
Yes. I really like, I hate making and hearing comments of the nature of, oh, like that's not an appropriate thing to wear, but like I also feel like that to work. I don't know, maybe I'm still old-fashioned, but
I mean her last outfit, like I was worried that if she like made too sudden of a move with her legs, things are gonna
right
come out.
Risque. Yeah, really? It's very spicy.
I think it might be like taped on.
Maybe. Let's hope.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's also not going to like bend down or anything.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But she could fall because she does a lot of fast walking around the stage.
Fast walking and like enraged throwing of things that make her lose her balance.
Well, I think also we talked about it, but the what the fuck of like saying that someone lives in like a shitty apartment in Moda. Like, I don't think a shitty apartment exists in Moda.
No.
But sure.
As someone who looks at real estate listings now and again, I'm like, wow, these are all really expensive.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't ever want a ground floor apartment, but it was pretty spacious and it's a super nice neighborhood, so it's not that bad of a place.
Yeah. I'm like not kidding when I say like this last time I was in Istanbul in September, that's like the only neighborhood that like felt how like the entirety of the city at one point, not the entirety of the city ever, but you know, like places we were like 10 years ago and we felt like pretty like free to just like be out and about as young people, young women, kind of doing whatever, and it felt like any big city. Like that vibe is very much gone in most of Istanbul, but Moda is still like an island of like, it's a lot more like there were same-sex couples holding hands. Like it just like felt very different from what the rest of what the city's become of late. So yeah, it's definitely even more of a premium location now, I would say, for the reason of just like the demographic that it now is like kind of an island for, versus places where it's just been like foreign investors like buying a property elsewhere. So, but this podcast listener shouldn't make the real estate even more expensive by buying properties.
Something I noticed, I don't know if this is true, but I think that young Kenan and current day Yusuf were wearing the exact same plaid flannel overshirt.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if it was actually like reusing it or, but it really seemed like the same shirt. Okay. Who is our Sultan of Success? The first 3 weeks we've had Selim, Yusuf, and Guliz / the sweater last week.
I was gonna say the sweater again, but I didn't realize we already had the sweater. It's like it's made 3 appearances.
I don't know. I guess it can be the assistant.
Okay.
Yeah, making moves.
I like that.
We think
she should really stop dyeing her eyebrows, though. It's a really weird look.
They're like her hair and eyebrows are like red, right?
Yeah, but like
yeah.
If you dye your hair red, you don't need to like bleach your eyebrows and dye them. It's such a weird, I don't know. Fatma's hit list.
Maybe Muge for being like not interesting.
Yeah. I think I would say Muge for being such a kiss ass.
Yeah.
In the most unattractive way.
Yeah. Fatma needs to give her an ultimatum of either standing for something or just dying. That's your choice.
Getting out of the news game.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Congratulations to Asla's assistant, whose name we don't know, for starting her heel turn. Watch out to Muge. Fatma is coming after you, so you better clean up your office. And next time we'll be talking about episode 5. So thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.